Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray as we turn to your word tonight, that we would find all that we need for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. May these very words declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Well, hello, folks. It is a genuine joy and delight to be home for harvest. And I really appreciate Simon's invitation. And Simon has obviously heard from somebody that I can be a wee bit long-winded because I'm only allowed to preach on three verses. And so it's a very limited wee text, but we'll try and see if we can get something out of it as we go through tonight. It is genuinely lovely to be back amongst you all, and we so appreciate your very warm welcome. I'm going to reread those three little verses from Psalm 126. And just listen to what they say. We're just focusing on those first three verses tonight. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. I only want to make three little simple points tonight. And the first one is very simply about looking at that first verse in the passage. The Lord brought back the captives to Zion, and we were like men and women, I reckon, who dreamed. And the community had been on a bit of a journey there, hadn't they? They had been in exile, and now they were returning home. The captives were brought back to Zion. And everything that they had hoped for, everything that they had desired, everything the Lord had promised, was realized in that homecoming. And that was a very special time. And God was real to them. And the people who had been in exile were now thankful to God for doing what he had promised he would do. This afternoon, I was at a memorial service for a very elderly lady who had kept a diary since 1945 until her death just a few months ago. And the people who were offering a little tribute to her had lots and lots and lots of material to draw on. But it aided them as they remembered and reflected on times gone by. They were able to delve into some of that material. And it struck me afresh, as it had done in preparing for tonight, that all too often we are slow to remember. We are slow to remember what God has done for us. But not so with this community. The Lord brought back the captives, and they were a thankful people. And I wonder tonight, at this harvest, which is always a very important marker in the year in celebrating God's faithfulness. You might think back to this time last year, and we look forward to this time next year. And it's this marker in our lives as the seasons change, isn't it? Of God's faithfulness and his enduring goodness to us. But as we look back to a time when we were thankful, when we look back to a time where we so waited for God to accomplish something, and we so waited for God to fulfill his promise in our lives, when was that? When was it? Was it this week? Weeks ago? Months ago? Years ago? I don't know. But for these folks, the hope of God fulfilling his promise and the reality of God fulfilling his promise was a daily thought, the forefront of their minds. And so what God had done in their eyes could not be denied because it was real to them and to those who watched. And they, we are told, were like men and women who dreamed. They dreamed. Now, I don't know if you're a dreamer, and I don't mean just some sort of, you know, lovely fluffy optimist like, oh, everything's going to be sunny tomorrow, but a dreamer who's stirred at night by your rousings and your thoughts. Happens to me all too often. But dreamers fall into two categories. There are those who have a dream, and something stirs them in the night, and they are preoccupied with those thoughts. And what do they spend their waking days doing? They spend their waking days looking for the fulfillment of that dream. When they see the person who was in the dream, they wonder what's going to happen here. Sometimes it's a warning, sometimes it's a promise, sometimes it's a prompting. But they're on the alert. They're on the alert, awaiting the fulfillment of this dream. Other people get very cross when they dream, because all it does is disturb their sleep. And I reckon amongst us tonight there might be people in both categories. There might be people here today and God has planted a dream in your heart. Or God has planted a dream in the heart of this community of which you are a part. And some of you are looking for the signs of that. You're looking for the signs of that growth. You're looking for signs of renewal. You're looking for signs of an increase in people's spiritual temperature and the things of God in their lives. And you're keen to pray and you want to study his word and you're telling people about Jesus. But yet there might be others amongst us tonight whose sleep is being disturbed by such talk. Let me be. Just let me be. Don't annoy me with that sort of talk. Don't annoy me with all of that exciting stuff. Just let me be, and I'll get on with my sleep. That's not who we're to be. We're to be a people on the lookout for the signs of God at work in our lives. And you know, what they were doing here was reflecting back to something that was really good. And we love to do that as churches, don't we? We love to reflect back. And I said it all too often, the glory days of the church are not behind us. The glory days for people of faith are always ahead. They're always ahead. But as we sit and we think, it used to be great, and we buy into this myth, that every pew and every church across the land was bunged 3 times a week, and there were hundreds of children queuing up to get into Sunday schools, and commitment was better, and everybody was happy and rosy and grand. I've only been around for 36 years, but I reckon that's rubbish, because actually we put on these rose-tinted spectacles as we look back, don't we? And we think it was always better the way it used to be. Not so here. This isn't that rose-tinted spectacle thing looking back. This is thankful remembrance in looking back and giving God glory for what he accomplished, but also dreaming about what might lie ahead. And so I wonder tonight, are we hearkening for the things of old? Are we living on a reputation of how we used to be? Are we longing that God might just restore things back to the way they were when it was all so much better and easier and Granny was cooking apple pie? It's not happening, folks. It's up to us to dream the dreams of God. It's up to us to pray and ask God for a new heart and a new vision that we might speak his love in clear ways to the community that surrounds us. And for some people, dreams tonight remain unfulfilled. They're the unfinished work in your heart and in your life. Things that God has promised that have not yet come to be. Desires for people we love, hopes for our families, thoughts and visions for our church that have not yet come to pass. And maybe we've given up dreaming. Maybe we've given up asking God, what am I to do? Who am I to be? What am I to say? And so tonight, I think, as I prepared for tonight, I'm convinced that God wants to stir up dreams of old. God wants to stir up dreams of old in some people who turn back to their heritage and they see the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And they need to stir up that dream and ramp up the vision and the passion again to say, yes, in this generation, I will be the one who will take the dream and see it become a reality. Or maybe tonight you've never had a dream. Maybe tonight you sit here and you think, thankfulness, a good God, a heart that's to be filled with gratitude. I just can't do it. I have nothing to celebrate. Things are broken. Things are destroyed. I've been let down. Things didn't work out the way I wanted. Folks, tonight, God wants to take all of that disappointment and remove that. And he wants to plant in you a new seed of a new dream that you might behold how good he is, how faithful he is, and how loving he is. And once the people of Israel had done that, they became a community that worshipped because they understood. And reflecting the goodness of God and remembering the deeds of God, they had no option but to turn their hearts to worship because they understood who he was. They knew how to worship, and that wasn't a matter of performance, it was a matter of priority. And as churches, we need to be so careful, don't we, that our hearts are glad when we come to worship. And not just our hearts, but corporately, our heart is glad when we come to worship. This is a community at worship. And so there's no room in God's church amongst God's people for the one-man show. None of us can do this alone. We cannot walk the journey of faith alone. The church is God's plan A for how we live out our life of faith and how we declare that faith to the world that is watching. So be part of a church. Be part of a church and be committed to that community. And if at some stage you thought, you know, I want to check out of this community and I'm going to go it alone, then come back tonight. Come back tonight and say, God, I need people holding me along the way here. Holding me along the way, keeping me accountable, encouraging me and nourishing me as we go. And through the slavery, through all that had gone on, through the oppression, through the exile, they've come to be a community that worships. And that's our call tonight, folks. That no matter what the storm might be, no matter how distant God might feel, our call is to be a community that worships. Because our circumstances change undoubtedly. 7 weeks ago, we moved house. All right. And we went from a place, I spent my entire life living within 5 miles of this place. And every time I went to the shop, I was going to meet somebody I knew. Every time I dropped the children at school, I met someone I knew. I came in here and I knew you and I knew your story and I knew where you were and what was going on, and we'd walked a lot of that together. And that mattered. That mattered deeply to me. That being known and knowing. And 7 weeks ago, all of that's pulled out from under our feet. All of it. We didn't know anybody in Dungannon. Now, most of them, it turns out, are quite nice, but we didn't know anybody. All that I'd heard about people west of the ban isn't really true. Okay. But that went. And we're left thinking, who knows us? Who cares about us? And that shakes you. That shakes you. And that is why community is important. That's why being committed to and investing in a community of faith like this one is an essential part of our Christian walk. We simply can't do it alone. And then their tongues were filled with songs of joy. Because when we, the people of God, turn our glad hearts to worship, the Holy Spirit invades us and plants a new song in our hearts. And our mouths are filled with joy and with laughter and with singing. Why? Because of what God has done. And you, all over the pages of this book, there's one aim. There's one aim. It's declaring the glory of God. That's what it's about. It's declaring the glory of God from beginning to end, the glory of God. And so when we understand that glory of God, we are to turn our hearts to praise with the aid of the Holy Spirit. It's not about the beat of the song or what book we're using or any of that. It's about the gladness in our hearts. And so when we fully understand worship and we read what worship does, these guys had done it all. They'd crossed the Red Sea and Miriam had raised her timbrel and sung a song of worship. As people marched round the walls of Jericho, they worshipped, and what happened? The walls came down. When people worshipped, when the people of God worshipped, the armies fled. I want us to be a community that worships. And when we worship, the gates of hell shake because we are declaring and lifting high the name of Jesus. That is what this community needs to be about in its worship. Declaring and lifting high the name of Jesus. And then we'll see walls come tumbling down. Then we'll see the army fleeing. Then we'll hear the gates of hell shaking. Because the enemy cannot defeat us. So, tonight, what is your heart's song? What is the song of your heart tonight that you want to sing to God? If you haven't got a song in your heart tonight, or if it's not a glad song in your heart tonight, then you need a new song. You gotta turn that old record off and get yourself a new song in your heart, planted deep within your heart. And then, like these guys here in Psalm 126, turn your tongue to songs of joy and let your mouth be filled with laughter because you declare the goodness of God. And then will we ever stop? Would 1,000 tongues ever be enough to sing his praise? Would 1,000 years ever be long enough to praise God for what he's done in our lives? No, it won't. Because we as a community are worshippers. But of course, only those whose heart is in Christ can worship Christ. Empty hearts can go around worshipping all the things of the world. All the fulfillment and that you're promised that turns out to be empty. All of the success that won't ever make us feel complete. All of the relationships that are never going to satisfy us. None of it counts. Fulfillment and contentment and peace and purpose is in Christ alone. And it's only that heart which has stayed on Christ that can worship. So if the song in your heart is not one of worship to Christ tonight, come to him and have a new song planted there that you might experience true worship. And choose allegiance. Choose allegiance to the God who has been faithful to you, the God whose faithfulness and goodness we are celebrating tonight. And turn your heart to sing a new song of praise. And then what will happen? Well, here's what happens. It was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Well, what happens is if we have hearts that remember, and we become a community that worships the name of Jesus alone, then I believe that the nations will watch, and the nations will believe. Because when God moves by his Spirit in a community of faith, people notice. And I wonder, I hope, I pray that this wider community beyond these walls cares about what's happening within these walls. Do they care? Do they care? I hope they do. And I hope more than that we care about what's happening beyond these walls. Because we need to be a people in glad remembrance with faithful, exuberant worship who are declaring God's goodness. Not even to the nations, but to our neighbours. But let's start with our neighbours, because our neighbours and the nations both need Christ. So if we haven't got love, then this community shouldn't even bother looking in through these walls. And you know, we can have all this stuff, can't we? We can have all the loveliness. We can have all that we want as a church. We can have all the systems and strategies and all that we think we might need. But if we have not love, then Paul tells us you might as well go out around the streets banging a big cymbal, because that's all the people are going to hear. So our hearts must be turned to love, that our neighbours and then the nations would see and believe. And are we passionate about declaring what God has done, so that the nations might see and desire the Christ whom we serve? See, it's our example and our love which should overflow to the nations so that people will turn to Christ. But will people look in here and will they say, see what the Lord has done? Will people look in here and will they hear the story of transformation in our lives and this community of faith? And will people say, the Lord has done great things for them? Because we are telling the story and we're offering worship in return? I hope so. I hope so. Let the revival of gladness start here. Let the reformation of worship, which turns our hearts back to glad songs of worship to God, start here. Let renewal begin here. And may we be a people who can lead by example and then go as ambassadors to the nations and declare the goodness of God. I used to work in a school, as many of you know, and the headmaster, he was a wee bit He's a wee bit naive with this, I thought. But he used to delight in telling us all that we worked in a centre of excellence. He clearly had another job. And you know, as I thought about this tonight, you know, we are not called as churches to be centres of excellence. But we're called to be centres of exuberance. Where our infectious, overflowing worship might be attractive. And as the name of Jesus is lifted high, and as he alone is exalted over all things, and as the story of what God has done in our lives and of our transformation is shared, that people would stop, and that our neighbours and our community and the very nations might look and say, the Lord has done great things for them. So tonight, before you go home, I want you to do something. I want you to ask yourself some questions. And I want you to respond in prayer. There'll be people in there tonight who would love to pray with you in response. If tonight you do not have a song in your heart because you do not have Christ in your heart, or tonight if your salvation feels anything less than rock solid secure, then know that Christ tonight welcomes you with open arms and says, come home. Let's wipe the slate clean and let's start again. That's what grace and mercy means, folks. Starting again. If tonight you have lost a dream, or if you believe that the promise of God has faded, or if you're in turmoil, if you're kept awake at night for the wrong reasons, not dreaming about the things of God, but worrying about the things of earth, then come and pray and ask God for a restoration, a stoking up, a stirring up of the old dream in you. Or indeed ask God for a new dream for your family, for your relationship, for your church, for your nation. Get a new song in your heart. Get a new dream from God in your heart. And then for some of you, I just want to issue this appeal. These folks declared themselves, the Lord has done great things for us. They owned it. They understood it. They testified to it and they became ambassadors to the nations, the story of what God had done. And they were filled with joy. Tonight, if life is tough, if life is hard, or just feels like a struggle, and you just need a restoration of joy in your life, then come in there tonight and allow people to pray with you that you might be refilled with joy. Refilled with joy and go out in laughter, praising that wonderful name of Jesus, that name which is above every other name, and the one in whom we must place all of our hope and our confidence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks tonight that an invitation to life anew in Christ is ours to respond to. And tonight, Father, we pray that whether we need an old dream restirred in us, or we need a fresh vision and a new dream, that you would grant that. We pray, Lord, that you would speak into us tonight a new song and plant the seed of that new song deep within our hearts. And Lord, we pray tonight that we would be a people, this harvest, mindful of your goodness, thankful for your mercy, amazed at your kindness, who want to tell the things that you have done as we remember, and go to our neighbours and the nations, declaring that you are good, that they too might believe that there is hope in none other, save Jesus Christ the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.